Okay, so welcome to the Truth About Our Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, VJR Nathan, and I'm here with Douglas Kalla. Welcome, Douglas.
How you doing? Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, Doug is also the co-host, so he's usually welcoming people. Now we're welcoming Doug. We were discussing a little before, you know, just to throw out there, I have a show coming up this Sunday called The Monsoon Warrior. It's going to be inspired by the MCU. Now, I kept changing the thing, though. I know Catherine Dunn, or my director, was probably like biting her tongue because like I kept changing the stuff, how this show is going to go down so much. And I'll end up being a different show than when it first started.
As usual.
It's always like that. Yeah. It's that creative process.
Yep.
But let's see. So, where was I? Okay, so then the MCU. Let's talk about the MCU.
All right, go ahead.
You're a comic nerd,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Totally.
And tell me a little bit about how you evolved in your life reading comics and little stories about when you first started reading comics.
I grew up reading graphic novels, you know?
Yeah.
Like Watchmen and Batman Returns. And,
oh, nice.
You know, and like I got into like Scott Snyder and Frank Miller and, you know, and all those, you know, and also all the early like Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby stuff.
Oh, nice.
I was into that, you know, when I was like growing up as like a teenager, you know.
Yeah, I remember Image Comics. Do you remember Image Comics?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I remember. Todd McFarlane was big.
He was huge.
When Venom first came out.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man, and it was just Spider-Man and Todd McFarlane. And then, like, the Infinity Gauntlet, of course, the Infinity Wars and the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, when 92 is when the Infinity Gauntlet came out. And
right.
Then I remember talking to my friend saying, I can't wait till it becomes a movie. They make this new movie. And we were discussing that. And then, what else do I remember? I remember, some stuff with the Silver Surfer. And I remember reading a little bit of Batman. I read a lot. The Death of Superman.
Yeah,
the death of Batman. Bane.
That's an iconic.
Yeah,
when he breaks his back and everything like that.
When Bane breaks Batman's back, the death of Superman was a big thing in that comic book. I'm sure he's died so many times, but
he does. Yeah, and he comes back again.
Yeah, he always dies. He always comes back. But that one time when the death of Superman came out, it was a big deal. I think it was that guy with the things coming out of his thing. What was that character's name? I don't remember. The alien with the ruptures in his back.
What was it, Brainiac?
No, not Brainiac. He was like a monster with had. I remember now, but
I remember.
Yeah, he's like some random guy.
Doomsday.
Doomsday. Yeah, right. Doomsday, I think it was Doomsday. Yeah. I think you're right.
Who was a clone of Superman?
Yeah. I think it was Doomsday. He had like these different jarring things coming out of his body.
Yeah.
So we decided for the show we're gonna talk about the Infinity Gauntlet. As if it were real, right?
Yeah.
Real in a sense. I mean, it's all imagination, but, you know, all of us are chasing after those six stones in our life, you know, that we want to master, be a master of, and be like, you know, like the best in, or like, you know, just feel aligned with, or feel like we've succeeded in those areas in our life. So we've got the space stone, the time stone, the mind stone, the soul stone, the reality stone, and the power stone, which make up the Infinity Gauntlet. And then we kind of keyed into like six areas in life that Doug feels like he had a thirst for, which I think are universal.
I think these particular ones are, I think anybody can relate to them, you know?
Yeah, pretty relatable. You know, writing and performance is the two major ones for Doug particularly, but performance can be like just speaking, public speaking in general.
In general, public speaking. It doesn't have to be poetry, you know?
Yeah, public speaking, and writing. Could just be writing, you know, your regular reports, but for Doug particularly, it was writing poetry or just writing in general, writing skills.
Correct.
So let's dive in. What's one that pulls you to talk about first? I guess writing or whatever you want.
Yeah, let's talk about the mind.
The mind stone. Yeah. So with your writing, what do you try to achieve with your writing?
Well, I try to educate and inform, but also entertain at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
what do you mean by educate? Educate about the world or about?
Yeah, about myself and about the world and about, you know, like my own philosophical underpinnings of my belief systems.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
And how I relate to how I interact with the world. You know?
Yeah.
And I think my writing, you know, if I'm talking about like a social, like a social, you know, something more social or something more, something that's more topical, you know, I'll do my research first before I write it.
Of course. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if it comes from a more emotional place,
yeah,
I can write it more organically without doing any research because it comes from, it's innate within me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think those are the two rhythms that I operate in. Mm. Either, you know, like from a socioeconomic standpoint, and then from like a more emotional, guttural, you know, lens, you know?
Yeah. What's the example of something that's more socioeconomic or?
Well, like, I guess having to do with, you know, anything like current events and stuff going on in the world and like how I respond to current events.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. I'm agreeing with you that kind of like political stuff or like, you know, current issues, not off topic for a poet, you know, very, you know, people think poets are all about flowers and bees and flowers and flowers and birds or whatever. Yeah. The beautiful flower. But how can the flower exist if you don't have the conditions to the appropriate conditions to really build a garden, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You're in a war zone, you know, you can't, and this has been said so many times in so many poets, but you know, war zone, you can't hear the birds singing, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are no birds, whatever it is, because they've been, you know, the pesticides and all this kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've been eradicated, I guess.
Yeah. So what's on your mind today? Like what's coming up for you politically or what's on your
mind? I mean, all this like election coverage and things like that. And like,
it's amazing how last time I checked, Trump is obviously still going strong, right? I
mean, he is going strong.
And he's still getting indicted. It's like laughable that this presidential candidate is getting indicted or getting like all these lawsuits are coming at him. And it's really laughable that people still take him seriously as a presidential candidate, you know?
I know, yeah.
Sadly, it's sad and laughable.
Only here, I think only in America would this happen.
Yeah, because I mean, granted, even if you believe everything he believes in, can't you find a better spokesperson for his beliefs? Like, can't you find someone who's not being indicted? But that's why I think Trump, he has all six Infinity Stones, you know? Somehow he got all six. He snapped the world. I think in my secret mind, I think he snapped half the world to like some place else. You know, I don't want to call it the Pure Land because I wouldn't care. I don't call it God's heaven, but somehow or another, he snapped their minds out of place, out of whack with the rest of the world. And then, like, now we're just competing against these people, you know, who are, like, out of their mind, you know, like, literally out of their mind.
I think we're living in unprecedented times.
Yeah, exactly. We're times where everyone's like, we're not synced up, you know?
Nope.
Yeah, we're not synced up. And so the Christians believe, some Christians, not all, that he's, like, God's Messiah or something.
Yeah, he's like Jesus. He'll answer the second coming, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's like Jesus or whatever.
Yeah,
but I think of Jesus as, you know, social justice warrior, you know, as I've said over and over again in so many shows, like I think of him as a social justice warrior and I think of him as someone who wants to empower people who are marginalized, previously marginalized
in
society. Yeah. I think that's pretty so obvious that I feel like it doesn't need to be said if you read the Gospels or whatever, if you read kind of how he talks about, you know, rich people not getting into heaven and, you know, you need to throw away your possessions and all this kind of thing. And, you know, and he's kind of very, very stern about that. So when he spoke, he was he didn't shake or tremble, he didn't stutter. You know, he was like, I imagine him to be very clear, you know, pointing his finger and being like, look, if you want to join me, you have to do this, this, and that, you know?
Yeah, I think he was confident in what he was saying.
Yeah, exactly. Confident. I mean, you know, especially with times when he like cursed the fig tree or something like that, where he was know, there's something like, you know, there he's like, he's brutal, you know, like with that fig tree. You know, it was just a fig tree, but, you know, like, you know, obviously he's being a little stern with it. But so let's go on to the Time Stone performance. So performance or oral speech or like, you know.
Oral speech. Yeah, I started getting into that when I was like 14 or 15 or so because I grew up in Staten Island and wasn't too much to do. So I started going to open mics, you know, at this local coffee house called the Muddy Cup.
Yeah.
And I started like befriending everybody there and everybody, I was like the only person under like 20 in the entire space. Everybody else in their 20s, you know?
Yeah.
And I started like performing week to week.
Yeah.
And then I started getting like a bit of a following, you know, like a local following, you know? and people started coming up to me and they wanted to, I guess I got a couple mentors out of it too, you know? And they saw me as somebody that, you know, I had, I think I had the raw ability, but I needed to kind of sculpt, you know, I had to sculpt my abilities, you know what I mean? Like, like I think they were raw and like untested. So I think I needed to, I had to align with people who were more seasoned on the stage. And that's why I was in a room full of people in their 20s and 30s, you know, people who had been on the mic scene for a while. So I guess I started getting, I started really going there week to week for years. And then ultimately I actually wound up co-hosting the open mic eventually after that.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's cool. So a little bit more performance about like, how do you, like when you're up there, do you like have like a little beat in your head or, like, you keep
Yeah. I kind of like, I think each time I go up, I think I have like, I think I have a certain through line that I want to, that, you know, like that I want to explore each time, depending on whatever the topic is. I think I want to take my audience on a narrative journey.
Nice. Then we were getting into the Power Stone, influence over others. You know, you got everyone on your same, sync you up, you know, sync up with others. And that, you know, I think about what's the frequency kind of thing. I was thinking about frequencies. And like mental frequencies. And like, you don't have to explain everything. You know, just sit there and be like, when you're talking to someone, you don't want to have to like, oh, let's backtrack. You know, how do we get to this? How do you get to this point? How did you get here?
Right.
You know, exactly. It's like, it's something frustrating when you have to like, you know, go back to the basics. You just want to have a conversation with people. You want to flow and you want to be like on the same page and the same frequency. Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, and you assume that they know what you're talking about.
So many latent assumptions. In our conversation. And like, you know, and the more and more we're open about like where we're coming from and where we're going, the more and more we get people on the same frequency because you realize, okay, you know, I get this guy. I understand where he's coming from and what how things happen, you know, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. But like, you know, sometimes when people are frustrated or stressed out and they just say, I'm just frustrated and stressed out. Then you understand. You're more understanding with, like, you know, all this kind of thing. And, like, you want to influence people so that then you're like, oh, I get, I have empathy, you know? All this kind of stuff. So what else? And then, yeah, in that case, you're all in the open mic and you're different ages. And, you know, we all understand how, what, you know, when you're, like, it looks when you're, 19, when you're like, 16 or 19, 16 to 20 and you're doing 20-year-olds, like, it's a small age gap. But we're, like, if you're in a group of like,
it's still sizable though.
Yeah.
You know, I think it still matters. I mean, the jump from, you know, age 15 to 20 is
It's a pretty big jump.
Pretty huge.
Yeah.
You know, and then like,
oh, 15, get, yeah.
15
yeah,
to pretty, 20. And then
yeah,
like,
it's pretty huge. Yeah.
And then after that, you know, it's like, how do you relate to people who are older than you? Because they come from, you know, you have to think about life experience and where they've been versus where you've been.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how do you connect the dots? You know, how do you make the appeal?
Yeah, exactly. But and then also with relationships, you know, we go into relationships and how the Space Stone, how whether or not there's always confusion with the you know, when people are friends and you know, what do you want? People are like always with women or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, with romantic relationships, like what do you want out of this? Where is this going? And you know, there's always a frustration there because you just how do men and women or whatever your romantic, you know, capacity is, you know, how do they relate without, you know, getting hijacked by your libido, you know, like how do you relate without feeling like, oh, I just want sex or whatever it is. Like, no, I mean, we want to relate. We want men and women to relate.
Well,
we
you have to set the terms, I think.
Exactly.
You have to set the ground rules, I think.
But at the same time, you don't want to be like having that conversation all the time. That some women, they'll be like from the get-go, they don't want to talk to you because they don't want to, you know, like inspire you to like chase after them, you know? They'll be like, no, I have a boyfriend, go away, you know, like kind of a thing. That's like a tactic by some women. They'll be like, no, I have a boyfriend, I don't want to talk to you. You know, but it's like, what if we just want to talk to us as human beings, you know? Like, maybe you just want to relate as human beings.
With no, know? Like, you know, agenda, with no, like, ulterior motives or
exactly, no agenda, You just want to talk and have a conversation. I mean, why do these women, like, do that? I don't know. But then at the same time, they kind of see the patterns. And I can understand, I can be empathetic towards that. They see the patterns.
I understand where they're coming from.
But, and then when you get married, you get into a relationship, then it's like you have to be on the watch for those patterns, you know? You don't want to get sucked into something where it's like you're getting up in a checkmate situation. You're like, oh, I got to move myself out of this, you know?
Yeah.
I always wonder how people cheat. It's like, come on, you just don't do it. You know, like, it's like, what is so difficult about that? What is all the mind games, you know, that people play? You know, I always want, yeah, it's so stupid. But yeah, so what do you want out of a relationship? What are you looking for in a relationship?
I mean, ultimately, you know, just like a real companion, you know?
Yeah.
Companion to, like, you know, go throughout life and have the experiences that I'm having and have shared experience, have a conjoined experience throughout life. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Do you feel like you need to date a poet or you want
to? I don't have to. I think I'm not limited to, like, our artistic types. I don't think I have to. Okay, I've done that already.
Yeah, it hasn't
worked out for
me. It hasn't worked out, right? So. Yeah, because sometimes, like, you two poets, they're just so different, you know? Like, even though they're both poets or whatever, someone poets writing about trees, someone poets writing about flowers, and they can be, like, so different, even though it's seemingly, to an outside observer, you're both writing about the stuff, nature or something.
Right.
You know, exactly, like you're both writing about nature, but like trees and flowers, they're very different, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm not limited to that. I think, I mean, I would date like an architect or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I don't have to date an artist, a fellow artist, you know?
Yeah. I think you find a way to human beings to relate with each other and human beings to connect and just have that connection. And it's important to like, for people to be open to that. But then, you know, it's annoying when you connect with someone and they're like, they have their terms and conditions, and it's like, oh man, how do I move myself into that position where you have feelings or whatever, and the terms and conditions are like, the terms of service are like different from what you want, you know?
Yeah. And also, how do you like compromise?
Yeah, exactly.
Or how do you make concessions? You know?
Yeah. Where do you compromise?
And where do you compromise? And what can you stand for in terms of like what is the ultimate like, what is your threshold for how far you'll go to be with them or how far to go to be with you?
Yeah, exactly. Boundaries and also thresholds. You know, those thresholds and boundaries are important. So that comes to the soul stone, you know, the calm mind, having a peaceful equanimity with yourself and know what you want, know what you need. You know, like, be like, I don't, you know, you need it and you don't need it. You know, like, you'll be fine without it, you'll be fine with it. But, you know, the U2 song With or Without You, you know, it's interesting when you dissect that song, it's like, I can't live with or without you. You know, right. I know it's kind of like, you know, but can you really? Well, you are living, right? Bono is living, right? I mean, can't live with or without you. I don't know. I know it's kind of communicating something different, but you know, it's like, you know, like you can't, but you know, maybe she needs to take a therapy, you know, like, I don't know, you know, it's like, it's kind of funny to think about those terms.
Totally,
I know it's like a romantic song and like people think it's nice, but maybe we're like milking the wrong mentality there, you know, but, and then power, influence of others, we went over, then financial stability. Ultimately, you know, in this world, we have to live, we have to make do, you know? And not the end of numbers, but like, how are you feeling with your financial stability?
I'm still doing the paycheck to paycheck thing.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, right?
It's hard, you know.
It's so tough
in this economy. You know, things are always, there's always inflation and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get raises. And I'm trying to get promotions. And, and it's like, you know, I don't want to stay in the same economic bracket my entire life.
Yeah.
And then I have to worry about my pension. I have to worry about retirement and you know all that other stuff.
I think for me, it's like I'm being boxed into a box where it's like, the numbers matter. And like, the way I overcome that is by thinking of a place of abundance, but at the same time, thinking of a place of like, how do you get to abundance if your bank account is so low? You know, like,
how do
you get to a place of abundance that I've got what I need, I have what I need, and I don't have to like, you know, I'll never be a point where I'm going to be like, and if I am at a point where I'm begging on the streets, then you know what? I'm still abundant. You know, like, you know what? I'm still cool with that because that's what I need to do. Like, you know, being able to be comfortable in where you're at and where you could be, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's abundance. Even the guy on the street, you know, I hope he has a place of abundance. Like, he shouldn't become a place of scarcity, you know?
Sure. I mean, I think there's also like financial planning comes into play too. Like, you know, how do you make if you make a 5-year plan?
Yeah.
Like where you're at now, your bank account is like
only
$10,000 in it. Like, do you want to get it to $100,000?
Yeah.
Like, how do you manifest that? Like what steps you have to take to get there?
I think you really have to come from a place of abundance, like a place from like, look, I have everything I need. And like numbers and bank numbers, dollar bills, they all just a number, you know?
Yeah.
And like ultimately, you know, access to the resources that you need is going to come when you really believe that you need it, you know, like when you really need it, you have to believe that it's going to come and that God ultimately provides these things. Or I know we can go back to the spiritual beliefs, but that calm mind, the calm, tranquil abiding.
Yeah.
You know, abiding with, you know, that the universe got your back. It's conspiring in your favor. It's not conspiring against you, but rather working with you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And how would you believe about that, about the universe?
I mean, some days I think, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think, depending on what happens to me, sometimes I think like the universe is against me sometimes.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough to deal with that. You know, it's really tough, you know, like
if something really horrible happens to me and I think, all right, am I being smited by a God?
Yeah. Exactly. It's such a tough feeling.
Then if something unexpectedly good happens, you know, am I now in God's favor?
Yeah, exactly. I don't like that feeling of like, the bipolar God, you know, like the BPD God, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we have to accept the fact that when we write a story, you know, we write a plot of a novel, it can't all be good. I mean, how boring would that be? Like, how boring would it be to read a novel where it's like, and then everything happened in his favor, you know, and everything happened, you know, like the James Bond didn't have a villain, you know, he just gets everything, you know, like, you know, or like the mission isn't impossible. It's like, it's possible. Oh yeah. James, Mission Impossible, go to Starbucks. I mean, what the hell, you know, how boring would that be? Like,
yeah,
sure. Mission Impossible is to go to Starbucks and order a coffee. No shit. Like, is that really a Mission Impossible? You know?
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, I mean, just, and once you get all six Infinity Stones, like once you have it all, can we really change the world? You know, can we really, and what would we do if we change the world? You know, and what would you do if you had the potential, or if you had the gauntlet right now, what would you snap? What reality would you snap into existence? You know?
Yeah, I haven't thought about that actually.
Yeah. But no, it's a good thing to think about. Like, if you had the gauntlet, like, would you just, I don't think I would make half the universe disappear. Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, it's such a boring thing to do. Like,
yeah.
You'd want everyone to be. I'd want half the universe. At least I'd want everyone who's in sync to sync up. You know, I want just like at least half the universe to sync up.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, just sure, that sure. We're all kind of synced on the same frequency, so that then we can all kind of proceed with the work. Because I know I'm not going to get everyone in the world to be on board with the same thing. You know. So you'd want at least half the universe to be like, all right, we're on board. We're on your ship. You know.
Yeah, kind of alignment.
Yeah. That's why it seems so logical that Trump snapped half the universe into his pocket, you know, somehow or another he's able to do it. And I think, like, for example, The Simpsons, right?
Oh, yeah.
They showed him going down the escalator.
Yeah.
And he repeated that. Right. I think he did that as like a magical spell. Like, he did that to convince the world he was meant to be president. Because he fulfilled that prophecy in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like almost a setup that it had nothing to do with him. But because it resonated with a lot of people, like had a resonance with a lot of people, like all of a sudden it sent this little message, he's going to become president, you know, and he deserves to be president as a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you like think about how like he set himself up with so many things, like with the art of the deal, and like, you see, I am the art of the deal, you know, like all this kind of stuff. Like so many things are laid down, so much of the groundwork was laid down for him, and then he just like followed through, you know? He somehow got himself through, and you know, now he was the president, and now he was just a Biden, and like you know, just amazing how in what way when do things happen to you where you were talking about like when the universe is conspiring in your favor? So when is something like conspiring in your favor? Give us an example.
Let's see. I don't know. Like, say if I all right. What if I say if I win the lottery or something.
Yeah, but when did it? No, you didn't win the lottery, did you?
I didn't win the lottery.
No, so take an example when actually
like,
in your life.
Like a real world example.
Real world example, yeah. When actually in your life something happened to you. That you were like, oh, this universe was already in our favor.
Hmm.
I was thinking, if you want, I'll play the Mission Impossible theme song while you're thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you can think about it. Oops. Already have an account. I didn't have to log in. Oh, man. While I'm logging in, think about it.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see. I just get. Oh yeah, you can't call me. All right. Meanwhile, I'll start with something else. Tell me something else that's on your mind. While I pull up this.
No, I don't. Yeah, I just feel like you know, sometimes. Yeah, when it comes to things in my favor. All right. Well, what about you know, like say if I got published by a magazine, you know?
Yeah.
Like by a well-known magazine, you know, or by a fairly, you know, by a fairly well-known place. Like then I would say, okay, like maybe my writing has merit, you know?
I'm still trying. I think I got it in there.
I got it
cracked in there. But yeah, what if getting published by a magazine? Yeah, and you've been published by a magazine,
right?
I have, yeah. So definitely that's an example of something where you feel like, oh, the universe is conspiring in my favor because you know, the magazine published me, and it's like, all right, finally, I'm getting some acknowledgement and having influence over people. I'm able to get what I need because someone else kind of validated.
It is that the validation and like feeling that, you know, my words have value, you know?
Yeah. Man, this protocol here for this getting into this Spotify is going on and on. They give two numbers and, man, crazy. But yeah. So then, but what's the example of when the universe was conspiring against you?
Oh, there we go.
Hang on, Mr. Possible Deep Song.
You got it?
I don't know why. Oh, there you go.
There we go.
All right. So you can tell a story. Nothing bad. Think about how the universe is conspiring against you. I'll pick one. The universe conspires against you or conspiring for you.
Probably, well, against me? I don't know.
What's the time when you thought that?
Well, I guess sometimes nothing really horrible happened to me. I don't know. I don't think I have any real world examples for that one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
That's okay. But yeah, there must be a time when so you go, because I think I'm getting hooked on this now, but I should probably calm it down. But yeah, the other thing I want to talk to you about was this song, right?
Yeah.
This song, right? Meanwhile, let's play it again. All right, now get this song in your head, and then we'll play James Bond theme song, right?
All right, okay.
So we got this song, right? Wait, hang on. You feel the beat, right?
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun. Really get a bed in your head, right? Then we're gonna play the James Bond
catchy
song.
It's catchy.
Yeah, it's actually really catchy, yeah. Same, you imagine action scene, you're so like, yeah. There's so many different versions of it, but it has some, and then the sub beat to it gets played out. Right, a little sub will beat. This is the Danny Elfman version. The Michael Giacchino.
Giacchino
is better, yeah. I think. Is it playing? Yeah, I think it's playing. Oh, it's not playing. I don't know why it's not playing, but. Oh, it's okay. But then we're going to play James Bond. James Bond.
Which intro, though? I mean, there's so many.
No, not theme song, the main one. I think it's the main one. The
from which movie, though?
No, they play. I think they play this one all the time. This one.
The GoldenEye one.
I think this says some Doctor No.
Doctor No.
I thought they play this one ultimately they play this when he appears, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, they play this underlying theme when he appears, right? In all the movies, I thought. I don't know. I don't really remember now, but I know there's Skyfall. There's all these different other songs, but this is ultimately the major theme song of James Bond, you know? So when you play that against Mission Impossible, That's like the spell, breaking the spell. Because they have a similar undertone, right?
Sure.
Yeah. You hear that little undertone. Dun, 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 dun. That, if you could play, if you suddenly remember the Mission Impossible theme song while this is playing,
that'd be
amazing,
that'd
right?
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool, right? Yeah. It's like, that's something, the challenge that came up to, I came up for myself. I was like, oh man, can you remember? And can you remember it? Can you counter it? You know? Yeah. It's a mental trick to like, keep it in mind.
The clash, you know?
The clash, yeah. Yeah. Especially when it's played really loudly, then you're like, your mind gets drowned out by it. And it's like, you can't play a counter beat, you know? That's what I think Harry Potter is all about. Like the mesh,
Harry
the
Potter,
wands, you know, the wands. They
saw
throw out the beat, and then you gotta counter beat it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. But what about movies? Let's talk about movies and
how
movies influenced you, or what movies influenced you? Yeah. Were you a James Bond head or James Bond?
I wasn't really. No, I wasn't. I mean, I liked, you know, I liked like GoldenEye. I liked the Pierce Brosnan ones.
But which movies influenced you then? Yeah, let's go into that. As far as franchises go.
Franchises
are like repeating movies.
Probably like the original Spider-Man trilogy.
Spider-Man's cool. Yeah,
that was my jam.
You know? Yeah, Spider-Man's cool. Yeah,
and like Superman and the original, like Danny, like the Tim Burton Batman movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. So now we're in the DCU. So what happened to the DCU? I don't know. They're not successful.
Well, it's being rebooted.
It's being rebooted. Oh, good, good, yeah. Good. I hope Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Yeah, no,
is the
he's
of that.
Still in it, but it's separate from the main DC.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I hope Robert Pattinson's, you know, movies like begin the new DCU. You know, like reboot it to that. Because I thought that was really good. The Batman, I thought it was really good. What did you think of the Batman?
It was 3 hours long. I mean,
it didn't feel that way. The Batman
didn't feel like it to me, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way. I watched the Batman with Robert Pattinson, you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, 3 hours?
Yeah, 3 hours, yeah.
Really? Yeah, it didn't feel like 3 hours at all. I don't remember it being 3 hours, but maybe I saw an edited version of it. I don't know. I didn't feel like 3 hours at all, but. Let's see.
Well, you know, the penguin comes out. The penguin?
Yeah. The movie Penguin?
No, it's a TV series.
Oh, TV series, okay.
On HBO Max.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they're also doing
it. But it's set in the same universe as Batman.
Oh, nice.
Batman, yeah.
Oh, nice. So we're about halfway through. I just want to tell everyone this is Radio for Brooklyn. You know, donate to Radio for Brooklyn so we can have conversations about the DCU and the MCU and all these different conversations we're having on Radio for Brooklyn, community-driven radio. So we hope that you'll consider donating to the Radio for Brooklyn. You know, just go to radioforbrooklyn.org/donate and make a little donation or make a monthly pledge. You know, just, we're just like NPR, but we're cooler. We're the cooler NPR. Like the cooler NPR. And I don't know if there's any kind of special... I don't think there's any special call-outs here for this week. But... you know, it's Truth to Power show. We're airing live right now on a Friday at 7 p.m., but we're going to rebroadcast it Sunday.
Oh, we are, yeah.
At 7 a.m. So this tonight or on Sunday, the March 31st at 2 p.m., I'm doing a show called The Monsoon Warrior at the Vino Theater in Brooklyn. So if you're just listening to this either now or at 7 a.m. and on Sunday, definitely come down to the Vino Theater. Do like $20 tickets we'll do, $20 a ticket. You know, we'll try to do like $20 pop a ticket, and then, or you can go to monsoonwarrior.eventbrite.com and save yourself a couple bucks and get a regular general admission ticket. The front row, we're trying to sell for $25, but we'll do what we do what we can. One day of the show, we'll probably just sell all tickets for $25, for $20, I mean, all tickets for $20. But if you want to reserve a front row ticket, then $25 to reserve that front row ticket. Cause it'll be really fun, cause I'm going to be doing like this magic spell. You know, I'm just going to be like imitating Doctor Strange. Actually, I'm the Monsoon Warrior. I'm assuming the guy's the Monsoon Warrior, but he's a warlock kind of thing. I'm trying to make it up. So, like, yeah. Monsoon Warrior is a warlock. So, and Adam Warlock is trying to push that. Trying to push that I'm like going to become Adam Warlock. But Adam Warlock is an interesting character because like he started out as kind of blasé, but I know where he's going with this. He's going to become a very serious character, you know, from the comic books at least. And I hope the MCU follows that formula because like he becomes a very leader.
Yeah, he does.
He becomes a big leader in the MCU, and he's very serious and very. So I hope soon, very very soon, he becomes more than a baby. You know, he's like a little baby in that movie, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Guardians in three? Part three.
He's kind of like a little bit of a big baby, you know, so, which is fine. I mean, that's part of his development, but I hope he gets there soon. And I'm kind of hoping, like, he helps Scarlet Witch get back, because I want Scarlet Witch.
Well, Scarlet Witch apparently perished in
Doctor Strange, I know, too. Apparently, but I hope not. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping that she comes back. You know, because I feel like her arc needs a better ending.
Yeah,
her arc definitely needs a better ending. Black Widow had a good arc.
Black Widow had a good arc.
It's over now. But Scarlet Witch needs a better ending, I think. You need a better arc, you know, to get her there, get her at the good place, you know. So I'm hoping Scarlet Witch and Adam Warlock hook up, basically. Like they need to be together.
Yeah. That's possible.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's precedence in the comics. Or not with like everyone hooks up with everyone in the comics at some point.
Yeah.
It's like you can come up with any pairing, and it's like comics did it at some point. Like Captain America hooked up with Black Widow or something. Like, I don't know, whatever it is. But what do you call it? So as far as music goes, what are your musical tastes?
Primarily hip hop and jazz, actually.
Yeah, jazz. Yeah. I don't know too much about hip hop, but I know a little bit. But like, what's the name of a musician you like?
For hip hop.
Yeah, from hip hop. Yeah.
I like Grandmaster Flash is really good.
Yeah, I know.
I like Nas. I like early like Dr. Dre is really good.
Yeah, Dr. Dre.
You know, I like early Jay-Z. What about
jazz? Let's pull up a jazz. Like when you say jazz, you mean like, orchestral only, or
yeah, like no, like you know, like Miles Davis or Miles Charlie Davis. Parker. Or...
Yeah, I know those names, but you know it's funny because like I know those names, I kind of get a feel for a Miles Davis song, but I couldn't really name a Miles Davis song. It was just play something. Miles Ahead, I'll play. Oh yeah. Very piano driven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Trumpets. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like I just want to sample it because I don't have to go through the litany of going to Spinatron, and you know, I don't mind doing it for two songs, but I don't want the litany of going to Spinatron and trying to figure out what the rights on these things are, but. Is a little slower.
More meditative. More meditative, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Blue and Green I've heard of, I think. This is kind of like what you like?
Yeah, good.
That's nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very like kind of calming, meditative. That's nice. What about blues do you like?
Yeah, like Muddy, you know, Muddy Waters?
Muddy Waters, yeah. I heard these names, but honestly, I'm not so familiar.
Got your mojo working.
I was just thinking about this song. Yeah. Get your mojo working. It's really good. It's a really good song, yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling it. Yeah, it's good. It's a good song. Yeah. You gotta wait for it. Yeah. Get mojo working. Just your work on you. Yeah, I love that song. I love that beat. That's a really great song. Yeah, I should listen a little more to Muddy Waters. Because that's a really great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta listen more to Muddy Waters. But also, I want to give you a chance to talk about your documentary.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Documentary. Basically, it's a profile piece, actually. And it also is a historical documentary, but also a profile piece.
Yeah.
About mutual poet friend of mine named Jacob Moses.
Mm.
It kind of... it kind of traverses his spoken word journey.
Yeah.
But then it also talks about the larger East Coast performance poetry movement.
Oh, nice, nice.
And kind of how he kind of overlaps with it.
Yeah, nice, nice.
And it's like a 30-minute documentary.
Yeah.
And it has like archival footage in it, and it has voiceover narration, and it's in post-production right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to come out in like another month or so, probably. So it's been, we're working on it for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And I have my co-producer, his name is Lou Alzamora.
Uh-huh.
He's my co-director on the project.
Oh, nice, nice. You're directing it too. Yeah, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're a filmmaker.
Yep.
Oh, nice, nice. Nice, nice.
We're looking to get it into like film festivals, and we're looking to get like, you know, looking to do speaking engagements about it, and we're looking travel with it, maybe get it into different platforms, you know, put it on YouTube, obviously, but also get it into film festivals and get it on like red carpets and stuff like that.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I mean, we're looking to really get.
Do you have a working title you want to release, or you want to?
It's called Grimoire, Genesis of Jacob.
Oh, nice, nice. Grimoire, yeah. His name was Buck, right?
His name was Buck, yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah. And who wrote the, was it screenplay? Is it a screenplay or a script writer?
I mean, I wrote a bunch of, like, I wrote most of it.
Yeah, good, good. And then you, was documentary, you'd be like interviewing people and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a talking head interview, but it's also archival footage. It's also, performance footage, you know, it's like a bunch. There's quite a bit of components to it, actually.
Oh, good.
It's not just the interview. It's like more than that.
Oh, good, good. That's really great. People should check. When will it be released?
In the next like month or two, probably.
Oh, wow, so soon. Okay,
it's coming up
good.
Soon.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So I hope people will check it out. Where do they go to find out more information about it?
We don't have a Facebook page, but you could find more about it at, let's see.
Jacob have a website or no?
Yeah, actually, he has a website. Poetryofjacobmoses.com.
All right, cool, cool.
So you can probably find out more about it.
Yeah, you can probably message him if he doesn't have it up on the page right now.
Yeah.
Probably follow up with him or follow up with you yourself or you know, I'll direct you to them. Let's see. So... Yeah, it's great. I'm also getting messages. I'm sending you directions. But let's see. So, yeah, art in general, like about art and visual art. Is there visual art? What about visual art? What does that really get
you? I don't paint or I don't do any like stuff like that. But I have done, you know, videography and stuff. I have done like videography for hire.
Oh, nice, nice. You know,
like you know, commercial stuff, like you know, weddings or mainly like, you know, like commercial events and event photography, event videography.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Yeah. Good. Good. Let's see. Yeah. Then let's play some more music.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's play the full song of. I love this song. Got my mojo working, but it just won't work on you. I want to love you so bad, I don't know what to do. Yeah, I feel like when we get stuck, when we can't figure something out, you know, we should just sing that song, you know?
Yeah.
We sing that song. Yeah. It's like, Those stuck places, those difficult places, make that song going. I got my mojo working, but it just won't work on you. You know, we get that stuck little place where our mind is like in a writer's block, or we're like, you know, figuring something out. And we're like, where do we go from here? You know, yeah. Just sing that song and it's like a spell, you know?
Yeah.
That displaces or just casts those doubts, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it's a great thing to carry with you, like in your back pocket, where when you're like at Starbucks and you're like, whatever it is, or whatever, Dunkin' Donuts, I don't want to be like a proponent of Starbucks here, but like Dunkin', it's like that line's so long, you're like, man, I gotta go, you know, let me make that magic, let me get that line shorter, right? And it's not working, you're like, what do I got my mojo working, but it's just not working this line, you know? Yeah, it's ain't right, you know? It's just not working on this environment.
Right.
You know, yeah. Something's wrong here. Something's in this line. And just keep singing that song to yourself, and then it's like suddenly it works, you know? Suddenly things will start lining up, and the line will go smoothly, and you just gotta trust, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, keep singing that song, you know? But, yeah, I think it's really great, you know, to have, like, you know, those earworms in you. And like figure out like what's the earworm that'll solve the situation, you know?
Sure,
yeah. That's cool. But we have about like 14 more minutes. My phone's exploding right now.
No, exploding?
You know, all these people are messaging me. I'm like, why did you know I'm on air? Yeah, I should go into airplane mode. But let's see. Then yeah, what else coming up for you?
Let's see. I'm going to be featuring in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're featuring?
I'm featuring at Barnes & Noble.
Good.
In PA in August. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us more about it.
It should be, it's like going to be like a 8 to 10 minute feature. Going to be a bunch of other poets there. It's going to be at the Barnes & Noble in Bethlehem.
Oh, good, yeah.
So it should
be. Some poetry?
Yeah.
Good. And then also you talked about in your pre-conversation the East Coast Black Arts Movement. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, what about that? Oh yeah,
tell us about that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of like when I sort of like that early on. I sort of like diverged from Staten Island for a while, and I decided to do a lot more, you know, a lot more work in the in like, you know, the eastern part of New York, like, you know, like near the New Eurekan Poets Cafe and like the East Village and everything like that. And I got to know some really fantastic poets who are in the Black Arts Movement, you know, and some of them became my mentors, actually. And I really, you know, I actually got to perform and curate a bunch of shows with them. And I really got to see like what professional poets actually have to deal with, you know, like what they go through, you know?
Yeah. So just getting an idea like what professional poets go through and like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you do like a university, like say if you perform at like a university, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you won't get your paycheck for like 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because
it gets tied up and.
It's so frustrating, you know, like and, when you're in the mercy of these, you know,
the institutions. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Or
what if you're like a touring poet and you have to like get accommodations? Like, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's funny because in these times, you know, we get stuck, we get angry. I think the number one principle is like just to breathe through it, you know, just like breathe through it, be able to see clearly. And it's tough in certain situations not to get angry, but. We can be forceful and sometimes, you know, I think it's okay to be forceful and be like express the boundary. But when we get angry, it's like our mind gets blinded and it's like we can't see anything. And it's like, why the, you know, why the F is this happening to me? You know, like, and like then you can't think clearly. And like, then you can't like, you know, we get too aggravated, you're too angry because you can't even think clearly. And then, of course, then we're not able to see solutions.
Right.
And that's really bad, I think. We want to be a good citizen. We want to be a good person. We want to be aligned. And just being able to wait for a moment to be like, all right, let me breathe in and breathe out. And like, how can I align myself with the situation best, you know, and see clearly how to respond, you know?
Sure, exactly. Yeah.
I think the calm mind is so important in that equation. That's like the soul stone that requires us to sacrifice certain things, you know, sacrifice being right. You know, because either we're right or we're, you know, it's either we're right or what, you know, it's like, you know, if you're going to be right all the time, you know, if you need to be right all the time,
Right.
Then. You know, it's like you're not really fighting properly. You know, I think that social really requires the sacrifice of being right. You know, because we need that approval.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. We're yearning for that approval. Yeah. 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 So that's good. We have 10 more minutes. Let's see. What else is on your mind?
Well, I don't know.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think doing the art stuff is really a journey.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could take you from, you know, it can really take you into different domains with different types of people. I think I met a bunch of people along the way. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Yeah.
And I've really crossed paths with the people who maybe, you know, not necessarily aligned with my views. You know, and I got to see I got to basically look at like what they're offering versus what I'm offering.
Yeah,
and kind of reach like. Reach like a common ground with people. You know
exactly,
I mean?
It's so difficult when you're talking to people.
It's about common ground.
Yeah, about finding the common ground and finding that music that sounded like the Breakfast at Tiffany's song. What was that Breakfast at Tiffany's song?
Oh yeah,
it's like
yeah.
The one thing we got, you know, it's like the one guys we both like Breakfast at Tiffany's, right? So let me just pull that song up. That's in the song, right?
That's not it.
No. Why is that coming up? Tiffany. Oh, Tiffy, I put down. Tiffany's. Tiffany. All these Deep Blue Somethings is coming up a lot.
But oh,
who,
yeah.
You know who wrote Breakfast Tiffany's?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. It's a different song, though. One Thing We Got. But I don't know. Deep Blue Something. Oh, Henry, you mentioned this one. No, oh, man. Now it's saying one thing we got. Breakfast. You know, this other stuff is kind of America, Breakfast in America. I don't know. Let's see. Let's be patient here. So let's see. I guess I can play something else, but you know, you got the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna play another song, but I'm playing. What's wrong with this? But. I'll play a couple of songs. We're following up with we can circle back to our Infinity Gauntlet stuff.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, it's interesting how that power, like in the MCU, the power like drives, it's so powerful that you have to be like a supernatural being to be able to wield the Infinity Gauntlet. And it's true. It's like, if you could do anything and change the whole universe in one snap, like, what would it be? And, like, to be able to, like, command that much of attention requires, you know, you to come up with something really, like, demanding. And, like, that can take a powerful mind to be able to do that. Because if everyone were to, like, for example, if you didn't have a calm mind, or if you didn't have, like, a really aligned mind, and you snapped half the universe into that mind, you'd be damaging the universe, actually, really. Like, you know, you'd be doing something bad. Whereas, you'd be, like, damaging half the universe rather than, like, helping half the universe. So you'd want to do good motivation.
Right.
And you'd want to be able to help the universe rather than hurt the universe. But the question is, you know, we have to prepare our minds first, you know. And I think some people are able to do that. I mean, people like Malcolm X or, like, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., they might be opposing in some level the violence or nonviolence. Like, that's the general thing we talk about, is like Malcolm X direct action and Martin Luther King Jr. was more about nonviolent protests. But ultimately, they both wanted the same thing, was the Black Lives Matter, or the liberation civil rights movement.
Yep.
You know, and like, you know, and they both performed their own snap in a way to try to get some people behind them, the world behind them. But really, they're performing for civil rights, you know? They were just two parts of a larger puzzle about civil rights. And if we participate in some movement, we have more of an ability to control the flow than So I definitely participated in the Black Lives Matter movement, in the sense that I believe that, you know, in civil rights and the rights of all people, and one flows from the other. It's not like, you know, and we're countering the idea that, and we know this, but the idea that countering Black Lives Matter with all lives matter is that one, if you believe Black Lives Matter, then you believe all lives matter, you know?
Exactly, it flows from the other.
So it's good. It's good. And like, you know, it's good to like remember that, because, you know, when we have the gauntlet, you know, it's like to snap everyone back into that mentality that, you know, what we have is our lives, you know, and we support each other and like the kind of thing. The one thing we got is, you know, like, let's see. But we just kind of just calming the mind, getting the mind in the right place. So I have a bunch of songs in my, this is the Monsoon Warrior soundtrack. I have a little bit of it. So we'll play out with Sorcerer's Apprentice maybe, or like, I'll tell you the songs that are on the Monsoon Warrior soundtrack and you can pick one. I got the music, it's all orchestral for the most part. I have the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Theme from Sherlock Holmes, it's like not the one of the themes from one of the movies, Sherlock Holmes, Batman theme song, The Good, Bad, the Ugly, the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme song, Lupin the Third, Mission Impossible theme song, Gonna Fly Now, which is the Rocky theme song, the James Bond theme song, 2001 A Space Odyssey, you know, intro music, where it's like, dun, 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 you know, Dream Within a Dream, which is from Inception, The Avengers, Superman theme song, Back to the Future, How You Like Me Now, Remember from the V for Vendetta. The Shark Appears from Jaws, I Love It When the Plan Comes Together from A-Team, Duel of the Fates from Star Wars, The Entertainer from The Sting, and The Raptors Appear as the finale. It's kind of like strange how The Raptors Appear comes in there, because it's like the rapture, you know?
The Raptors Appear. Yeah.
So they're like, one of the questions is going to be like, what would you reboot if you reboot anything? And I was like, I'll reboot the Book of Revelations, you know? Let's get it all done. You know, let's get it done properly. Because they're like, in the Revelations book, they talk about Jesus coming back as a thief in the night, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But instead, my show is going to be in the afternoon. So I consider it to be kind of like a rapture of sorts, you know, where I'm going to get people on the same page as me and, you know, get people, you know, together and welcoming of the new era to come. Yeah. So we got 30 more seconds. We can let you close out. It just lets you close out quickly. Say a few words about yourself and where people can find you. Where can people find you?
All right. I could be found on Instagram at Shutter Remnant. That's SHUTTERREMNANT. And you can find me on Facebook at Douglas G. Calla.
Cool.
And I have... you also find me on poetsandwriters.org.
Yeah, cool.
I have Poets and Writers profile, Douglas G. Calla as well.
Yeah, cool.
And Thanks so much.
We got five more seconds. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you guys for listening. See you on Monday, March 31st, maybe.